The boy actor. I can remember. The months of November and December were filled for me with peculiar joys so different from those of other boys. For other boys would be counting the days until end of term and holiday times, but I was acting in Christmas plays while they were taken to pantomimes. I didn't envy their Eton suits, their children's dances and Christmas trees. My life had wonderful substitutes for such conventional treats as these. I didn't envy their country larks, their organized games in paneled halls. While they made snowmen in stately parks, I was counting the curtain calls. I remember the auditions, the nerve-wracking auditions, darkened auditorium and empty, dusty stage. Little girls in ballet dresses practicing positions. Gentlemen with pince-nez asking you your age. Hopefulness and nervousness struggling within you, dreading that familiar phrase, "Thank you, dear, no more." Straining every muscle, every tendon, every sinew to do your dance much better than you'd ever done before. Think of your performance, never mind the others. Never mind the pianist, talent must prevail. Never mind the baleful eyes of other children's mothers glaring from the corners and willing you to fail. I can remember. The months of November and December were more significant to me than other months could ever be, for they were the months of high romance, when destiny waited on tiptoe, when every boy actor stood a chance of getting into a Christmas show. Not for me the dubious heaven of being some prefect's protege. Not for me the second 11. For me, two performances a day. Ah, those first rehearsals. Only very few lines. Rushing home to mother, learning them by heart. Enter left through window, dots to mark the cue lines. Exit with others. Still, it was a part. Opening performance, legs a bit unsteady. Dedicated tension shivers down my spine. Powder, grease, and eye black, sticks of makeup ready. Lechner, number 3, and number 5, and number 9. World of strange enchantment, magic for a small boy, dreaming of the future, reaching for the crown, rigid in the dressing room, listening for the call boy. Overture beginners, everybody down. I can remember the months of November and December. Although climatically cold and damp meant more to me than Aladdin's lamp, I see myself having got a job, walking on wings along the strand, uncertain whether to laugh or sob, and clutching tightly my mother's hand. I never cared who scored the goal or which side won the silver cup. I never learned to bat or bowl. But I heard the curtain going up. I knew in my teens that the world was full of hatred, cruelty, vice, unrequited love, despair, destruction, and murder. I also knew, at the same time, that it was filled with kindness, pleasure, joy, requited love, fun, excitement, generosity, laughter, and friends. And through all my years, I have never changed in my mind the balance of these absurd phenomena.
Noel Coward was literally born to the sound of music. At the turn of the century, music in a domestic context meant the family gathered round the piano for a sing-song. Noel could sing those familiar songs and hymns word perfectly to the end of his life. But that early exposure certainly helped bring out the latent entertainer in him. At the age of 2, he had to be forcibly removed from church for spontaneously dancing in the aisle to accompany the hymn being played. On another occasion, he complained bitterly when his solo in the church choir earned no applause. Merely the sight and sound of the congregation sinking creakily to his knees in prayer. I made my first public appearance at a prize-giving concert at the age of 6. I was dressed in a white sailor suit and sang Coo from The Country Girl, followed by a piping little song about the spring, for which I accompanied myself on the piano. This feat brought down the house, and I had to repeat it. I remember leaning over to Mother and Father in the front row and hissing exultantly, "I've got to sing again." The evening ended in tears, however, because I was not given a prize. Mother tried vainly to explain to me that the prizes were for hard work during the term and not for vocal prowess. But I refused to be comforted and was led away weeping. But you can't keep a real trooper down. And when the Cowards went to the seaside of Bognor for their traditional summer holiday, there was Uncle George and his merry men, a concert party, in their straw hats, coloured blazers, and off-coloured flannel trousers.